السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله، we gather again to continue in the session or the gathering of discussion and reflection on Asma Allah al-Husna. And I know this is always an exciting moment. Everybody's waiting, what is the name tonight? And also, I know as soon as I say the name, you're trying to think, okay, what can I come up with that name? And this is the feeling that we all have. Once you hear a name of Allah, now that we've been together for so many sessions, once you hear a new name that we did not discuss, you tend to say, okay, now, what about this name? Especially those who know Arabic, who thinks that they know Arabic. Okay. They start now, okay, what is, because this is something that we are not trained in. Okay. And alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And this is something that we all need to be educated in, and this is the purpose of this. Is once you hear a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has a meaning. It has a meaning. When you think about it, it has a meaning when you think about Allah within this meaning or within this name. And it has a meaning that you carry as a human being. And it has a meaning of execution. What is it that we need to do that we have part of this attribute? And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it? And once we start doing that, we become conscious of the attributes of Allah around us, and that is the path to Jannah. This is the path to Jannah. And some scholars, as we said before, that they say that there is a Jannah in this life that you must go in it, you must achieve it in order to enter the Jannah of the hereafter, which is getting to know Allah. And how do we know Allah? Through Allah. And how Allah tell us about him about through his names and attributes. And where do we get it? From the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the language itself and the understanding of the language. So today, inshallah, the name will be Al-Badi'ah. Al-Badi'ah. Al-Badi'ah, the word that has to do with creation, has to do with initiation, something new, and it has to do with beauty, it has to do with creativity. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, badi'u as-samawati wal-ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is badi'u as-samawati wal-ard. He's the one who created. See, the creation has many names in Arabic, many words. Okay, Allah al-Khaliq, al-Bari', al-Musawwir, al-Badi'. All of this has to do with creation. But al-Badi', what is the word that we use a lot that close to Badi'? Bid'ah, yes. And inshallah, this session has a lot of share in that, inshallah. Of discussing that. Now, a'udhu billah, not sharing jannah, but in discussing that, inshallah. So what is bid'ah in Arabic? So initiate something that was not there before. Okay? In a fiqhi way. Okay? You initiate something to be close to Allah with that didn't exist before. You were not given. But bid'ah in a way of, even in English, what does bid'ah mean in English? What does it mean? Innovation. Is innovation a bad word? No, not necessarily. Yes.
Out of routine.
Right. So innovation in English, even if it's a compliment when you say this is innovation, meaning something good. But in Arabic as well, something that is, something in bid'ah, in deen, there is no good in it, all bad. Okay? But bid'ah in a way of our lives, in a way of creativity, in a way, huh? Yes. Yeah, in a way of bringing something, developing something, okay, and so forth, this is not bad. Okay? So this is now that we know what it is in the language, that you start something that was not there. And what is al-badi' then? Okay? Badi'u al-samawati wal-ard. The one who started, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, started the heaven and the earth, and it did not exist. And it did not exist. But now, this creation, it shows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-badi'. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates from the time of Adam alayhi salam all the way through up to our time and then until the day of judgment, mankind, people, all have the same, they have a face, they have eyes, eyebrows, nose, a mouth. Right? But they are all different. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-badi'. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates so many variety of the same thing. And you think it is the same, but it is different. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-badi'. You can look at the insects. Or the butterflies, that is insects, life or world. How maybe millions of different butterflies and different colors and different shapes and so forth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-badi'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with different abilities and complement one another in a beautiful way. He is al-Badi'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created within His creation so many varieties and the ability to bring from that variety so much. Example of that, and this is what we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this name, al-Badi'. And this is what we have in a way of in goodness, bringing something new in goodness. When we like to have, to have a certain quality like those who raise cows for milk, okay, what do? They breed, they crossbreed for the purpose of that, okay? And those who raise cows for food, they crossbreed for the purpose of meat, right? And on, okay? This is something Allah put in us of trying to use the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us and take this creation and work with it to bring benefit and more benefit in different ways, okay? And this is something that in us, Allah give us that ability and that talent to manipulate things around us, you know, for the need, a special need, and also for beauty. Okay? Meaning that there is a way to manipulate, to build a house so you could live in, right? But then there is a way to build a house that you could live in it and be comfortable in it. Meaning that there's a way of putting up four walls and a way of designing four walls, okay? Making it beautiful. There is a way of finding out what is the need of mankind and knowing what the need of mankind is, but then going around or with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it available, okay? So we can get animals, mankind can get animals that are wild or birds that are wild and then domesticate these animals. Okay? What is that? This is in a way of bid'ah, if you will, in a way of ibda'ah, in a way of working with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring something readily available rather than go hunting it, you will have it there. One example of that is pigeons. Who domesticated the pigeons? Do you know? I know the country. I'm not sure if they were. Yeah. Well, the Egyptians were the first ones. Okay, who started domesticating the pigeons? Okay, for food. For food. Yes. Okay. And now this bird that is flying everywhere, you cannot control it, right? And so forth. Now you build something for it and let it loose still. Now you don't have to lock it in. You still let it loose, but it will go, you know, fly and come back to whatever you built for it now. It is a way now to bring in, you know, food for where you are. Okay. And subhanAllah, you look at this bird that flies, you know, hundreds of miles. You know, there are pigeon races for 600 miles. Imagine a pigeon that flies for 600 miles, okay, without a stop, okay. And this, how does it know where it's going? Because you take it in a place that's never been in before. Okay? Never been in before, but knows where its home is. It flies around its homes. But then you take it away so far, very far, but you let it go and still goes. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the head of this little pigeon, okay, this small, you know, little head, some kind of, what do you call it now in the car? Yes. A GPS. Okay, that knows the latitude and of the earth, the magnetic lines of the earth. Okay, it detects it. And it knows where its home is. Okay, so you let it go for wherever it is. Usually it goes up and then circles a couple of times as if, you know, it measuring where, what part of the earth is, subhanAllah, as if it is, it just keeps circling in the same place that you let it go, and then it chooses a direction, and it goes. Huh? Yes. It's Googling before it takes off. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Here is, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Badi'. Okay. Now, imagine, you know, those people who are farmers who do not have much. They domesticated these birds and they have them in just very modest kind of buildings, mud buildings. They make just holes in it and just leave it there. The birds will nest in it and then you don't have to feed it. Okay? It just flies away and finds its food and comes back. Okay? And it lays eggs and gives young and so forth. And then you go and just collect the young. Okay? Before it flies. And the best food. Now what did you do for this? I mean, for a businessman, you know, here are the businessmen. This is a perfect business. He did nothing. Initial investment of something to mud, to put holes in it, and that's all. Not only that, and that, the usually the mud hut, if you will, that you build for it, it is open from the inside. You can walk inside. So, and on the outside of it is these holes where the pigeons come in and so forth nest. But when it nests and sits there and so forth, its drop-in is collected inside that room, okay? Because as its nest is put in an angle where the dropping falls. So every once in a while, the owner, okay, he goes in and they take this droppings. It is the most strongest fertilizer ever. Okay? And usually, I know in some Arab countries, they call this Rasmal. Okay? Which means capital. Which means in English, capital. Imagine this dropping is a capital. Okay? You take it and sell it for so much money because this is how strong it is. You get some droppings and you cannot use it directly. You have to dilute it. You put it in water. And then after a while, you take that water and then you put it in a huge amount of water and then you use it. That's how much dilution you have to go through. The point being is, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that create things not just for your need, but it's for your comfort and for the beauty of your eyes. And Allah initiated that creation and then repeats it. So now, we will, with this attribute that we, part of it we have with us, we go around and find out what is the need for mankind. Okay? And you start working with something to improve it so mankind will be helped with it. Now, here is the intention here. Are you working with it in a way of greed? Or you're working in it in a way of islahin in ard? Meaning having been positive and making a difference in the lives of people. And you can take this to higher and higher levels. Okay? You can invent, if you will. Okay? Things and machines, ways, and on so forth that will be, makes the life of mankind easier, happier, more comfortable, and more blessed. Okay? This is having ibda' or bid'ah in a way, ibda' in a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not bid'ah, but ibda' in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we give example before, here is a river running outside, okay, and in order for you to get water, you have to walk to it and go get the water from it. But then, you know, here is an invention of a big tank where you can get this water and pull it up with pumps all the way to the tank, and then you distribute it to the houses around. Here is you are in your home and turn the faucet on and you get the water. This is ingenious. This is a beautiful way. This is a way of islah and earth. This is ibda'ah. Okay? This is not just taking the way it is, but manipulating it in goodness in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us, and those who have the right intention, Allah will help them to do better in earth and gain more deeds and help others, those who are in need and those who are just for a better living and a more blessed living. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this attribute, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about it. You can let yourself go with ibda' in a way of putting things together to help others. But when it comes to ghaib, when it comes to the unseen, when it comes to things that you need to be told, you cannot manipulate that. You have to be told that and you take it as it is. And this is where is the bid'ah comes in. The bid'ah is unacceptable. Okay? The innovation that's unacceptable in deen. The innovation in deen, that is unacceptable. It is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heaven and the earth, is giving us guideline of how to worship Him. And what it is that we're going to, our path and our goal and our objective. And we cannot manipulate and change what Allah has given us in a way to expect a better result. This is an insult. Because if we do that, we're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us enough guidance. And we need to adjust in the guidance of Allah. We're saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not quite get it right. And we're going to adjust it to make it right. This is totally unacceptable. So here is where the bid'ah is, that it has no bid'ah hasana, or no sunnah hasana. Because sunnah, it is to start something out of nothing. But the sunnah hasana that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about, and this is something that, you know, you'll find someone tell you, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man istanna sunnatan hasana. He who start a sunnah that is hasana, a good sunnah, beautiful sunnah, he has a reward, the reward of it, and the reward of those who follow him in it. And man istanna sunnatan sayyi'a, and the one who istanna sunnah, have a sunnah that is sayyi'a, that is bad, he will get the penalty of it, and the penalty of those who follow him in it without taking any of their penalties away. Now, they take that and say, therefore, there is a sunnah hasana and there is a sunnah sayyi'a. So they will start something and they tell you, this is a sunnah that is good according to the hadith. What's wrong with it? Because Rasulullah ﷺ opened the door there. But this is not correct. This is unacceptable. But what did Rasulullah ﷺ mean when he said, من استنى سنة حسنة فله أجرها أجر من عمل بها. It is, and this is one of the ways, one of the ahadith that we learn to find out the reason of saying of the hadith, so it will shed a light on the hadith itself, so we can understand it. And this is a path of learning. When you go in the Quran, and then they say, here is a reason of revelation. And we have been going through the book of reason of revelation, Asbab al-Nuzul, for a while. And we heard every night after Isha, here is the ayah and here is Asbab al-Nuzul, the reason of revelations. And once you hear the occasion of the revelation, you can understand it, understand the meaning more. When you hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about it, when you hear how the companions understood it and implemented, then you know, understand what it means. Okay? So, now, when you hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ إِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ كُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ إِنَّمْ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ كُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Indeed, even if anything that comes to bring up new in Islam is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a misguidance, and every misguidance in hellfire. And then you get another hadith, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man istanna sunnatan hasana. He who start a sunnah that is hasana, he would have the ajr of it and the ajr of those who follow it. So how do we reconcile between the two? The second hadith, the hadith of man istanna sunnah, was said when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina. You've seen people coming into Medina. You've seen those people needy. They've been traveling for long. They look tired. They did not have much with them. And they are absolutely in need. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited to see what's going to happen. How is the dynamic of the Ashab al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What they're going to do about this? And no one done anything. So they went through into Medina and nobody helped them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the masjid, asked for adhan to call the people to come in. People started coming. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and started, and the member started giving a khutbah about sadaqah. Okay? That's all. He was talking about charity and so forth. Then one companion understood. He understood what Rasulullah ﷺ meant by that. He understood the dynamic that was going on. So he ran to his house, got a bunch of dates, came to in front of those people and put it in front of them. So everybody realized what happened. Why Rasulullah ﷺ was talking like this. So everybody went, got something and gave it to the people. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and only then says, man istanna sunnatan hasana. He who start a good sunnah, he will give the reward of it and reward of everybody that follow him in it. Okay? Now, is this sunnah something new in Islam? No. But it, at that time, it was a sunnah that was dead. The sunnah that was not practiced. That it needed to be practiced at that time, and nobody practiced it. So the one who revived it, gives the reward of it, and the reward those who follow in it. So from that we understand now that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes among us it will be dead. There will be a time to do something absolutely must do, but no one is initiating the revival of this sunnah. Okay? But if somebody realizes it and go and revive it, then everybody who comes in and follow it, he will get the reward of them. So now we understand what this hadith means. There is no bid'ah, good bid'ah. There is no good bid'ah in our deen, in a way of worship. There is none. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every bid'ah is a dalalah. Everyone did not make an exception. But the good sunnah here means reviving. Umar radiallahu anhu used this word when he put everyone together in his time to pray taraweeh, okay, in the way that we know it today. And he said, ni'mal bid'ah hadihi. A beautiful bid'ah this is. Okay? What does that mean? Did he start something new? It has the same meaning. No. Why? Because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and prayed in Ramadan after Isha by himself for a long time. The companion looked and, you know, started praying. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it a couple of times. Then they started gathering around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, behind him. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand, and they would stand as Taraweeh as we know it now, right? But Rasulullah sallallahu after a couple of nights, the companions waited for him to stand, and he went to his room and did not come out. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu, if he would have come out every night of Ramadan, this would have been a fard on us. Imagine Taraweeh is a fard on you. This year, Isha will be what time? Okay, will be the last week of August. Okay, that give you an idea, inshallah. So, 10:30. Finished 10:30. It depends on who's qari. Yes. Okay. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to come out, so it will not be a compulsory prayer or a fard prayer upon us. So now the companions were praying by themselves. So the time of Umar radiallahu anhu said, "See, why don't we revive what we started with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Okay, he did not start something new. He started something that was at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now he said, "Ni'mal bid'ah," what a beautiful bid'ah this is, and he meant it. He meant it in a way of language, not in a way of deen. Okay, so you can replace this word of, it's a beautiful revival to what we had with Rasulullah sallallahu. It's not something new, okay? But in a way of comfort of this life, inventing something has to do with mu'amalat, of how to deal with things, the food that we eat, the inventions of different things and so forth, as we give example of, you know, crossing animals together to get a better breed of this, thinking about some kind of invention to better, for the betterment of man and so forth and so on. A bid'ah in this sense is good, it's not bad. Okay. But once you bring it into deen, you cannot initiate something out of nothing. Everything has to be in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. And we know that if just when we think about it, if we try to improve in a way of the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we're saying, as we said before, we either saying that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forgot, and that is unacceptable. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم وعياذ بالله had it but did not give it to us, and that is a betrayal. That will never happen. It's unacceptable. Okay? And if we're saying, oh, the third option is, we are improving in what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us. So the ayah that's saying, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا, is not valid then. When Allah says, it is completed, it is finished, and I'm pleased with the Islam as a deen for you. Okay? We cannot say that this is Islam is incomplete when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is complete. So yes, we can do more of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, but we cannot change what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, add to it or take away from it. But we can do more, not in a way of permanent way, but in a way of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so here is the picture of the bid'ah or al-badi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who initiated the creation and made the creation in such a way that it is so beautiful, and made the creation in so much variety that there is no competition with this creation. It is the most complete, the most beautiful, and the most has a component in it, the component of perfection, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this ability to have ibda, to create things, to manipulate things in a way of goodness, in a way of islah on earth. And we know that this life we can manipulate in it, but then in a way of manipulating what we are getting about al-ghayb and how to worship Allah, this is bid'ah that is unacceptable in our deen. A study that was made about man, I believe they call it the journey of man, the journey of man, in public television, very interesting, of how they looked at the blood, what do you call it, the print of the DNA. Okay, and they looked like they looked at the blood and they found out that there is changes that happens to it from a certain kind of people to another. Okay, certain people living in area in the world and others. Okay, so someone who's looking at this and found this very interesting, and let us say there is numbers up to, like, you know, here is a number from 1 to, let's say, 7 or so. This is the minimum that could carry, and then there is some who have certain, they call it mutation, and they carry more and so forth. And then some who carry more and so forth, and when a mutation happened and so forth. So they found out that this is happens gradually. So if wanted to find out where are the people in earth who have the minimum number. Because if you find them, you can tell that these are where everybody came from. The first people, right? Because now every mutation, you know, it is coming from this original one. And he found them in Africa, a tribe in Africa. Okay? And now he looked at this and then he wanted to find the next mutation that happened and the numbers that increased. So he found them in a certain place in the world. And then he went from that and he wanted to know the next one. And at the end, he was able to get to map the world as the journey of man on earth, where the man start and then start traveling from where and going where and so forth and so on. Okay. One thing that was very interesting, the islands, which Australia is a big continent, that's an island, right? Meaning here is a continent by itself. Where is the people of that came from Australia. What do you call there? The people who are the Aborigines, okay? So he went through the areas, the possible areas that we would find any group of people that would have the match with them, with their blood. So that would be, and it carries, men only carries it. And he found one in India. Okay, so he proving that this, you know, the Aborigines, they came from India to Australia. And he wanted to find out the American Indians, where they came from. Okay? And he found out that they came from the North Pole. Okay? And how, you know, they came through the Bering Strait to the Americas and so forth. Yeah. Point being is, here is why we're talking about this. Look at mankind with the different faces and different colors and different degrees and different hair and different, you know, shapes and forms and so forth. It is all, you know, was carried with Adam alayhi salam and then spread all over the earth. And now here is, we're not saying, you know, here is, look at this experiment now proving that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa'ala billah said was right. But we're saying that here is someone who's studying and found out this conclusion that say that all of us is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in earth and designed this earth for us, and we are all coming from the same source. Okay? Not like those who say that we're coming from a different species. Okay? Like who? Like Darwin. Did you know, who knows who Darwin was? What did he do? Yeah, he was not a biologist. See? Yeah, subhanAllah. He studied divinity. He was a person who studied religion. Okay? And started looking at these things and so forth. And subhanAllah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. Okay, when he started going away from, you know, what he learned and the religion and so forth, by putting the closest, the dearest person to him, to sickness, his daughter. And eventually she died. Okay, it was so much impact on him that he could not even bury her. He walked away, he had people to take care of her. Okay. And from that point, he said, you know, this is... Yes, it started as soon as that he said, yeah, yes, yes. Yes. And subhanAllah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring to you in our lives something that will take us into making... we will be pushed to make a decision in our lives. Okay? This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You are hesitating about something, you're thinking about this, about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you in a situation where you have to make a decision, when you have to say, either I'm going to go this way or that way. Okay? And when we reflect on our lives, you know, I remember someone who used to argue about, you know, about the balance that we try to talk about, right? About, you know, love, about hate, about, you know, being rough, strong, and being humble and have mercy, and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. So, cues of being, you know, why do you talk about roughness? Why do you talk about hate, and so forth? Well, this is what Allah says, and so forth. So that was, you know, argument, you know, what he carries with him. Did not see him for a while. And the halaqah that we have in Fajr. And here he is, comes into Fajr one day. Alhamdulillah. And then what was the surah that we were starting? Anybody would guess? Bara'ah. Surah Al-Tawbah. Surah Al-Tawbah. If you ask me, what would you design talk about? If this person is here, I say, no, don't, you know, let's find some other surah. Because this is like he has some kind of a pain in his hand, and then now you're going to twist it even more, okay, by talking about this, okay? But, you know, here's the brothers that we've been going from the beginning of the Quran and going on. So we started talking about Bara'ah. And you know, the Bara'ah is the only surah of the Quran that does not start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why? Because there is, you know, the mercy is not there, because here are the people who are hypocrite, here are the kuffar, here are those, and start by disconnect, you know, by starting Bara'ah, you disconnect with those who are kuffar and so forth, okay? And since then, I did not see him back. Okay? Okay? So, you'll find, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in situations that you find your weak points, you have to strengthen yourself, and you have to make the right choice. Because eventually, before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to make these choices. Okay? And we have to be ready to make these choices. All of us are weak. All of us are weak. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength to make the right choice. Inshallah, if you like, inshallah. Not if you'd like, you must, inshallah.
بالله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد just two points inshallah about Allah al-Badi' that very interesting that we as human we try to become you know innovative to do things you know. But the funny thing that everything we do there is some match to it in the creation. I mean, they like whatever they create in their own image, you know. They, I mean, look at the movie, you know, when you move Star Trek or something, you know, the monster they have two eyes and have you know something look some creature. There is some creature like him. They cannot create something.
We do not start from nothing.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. This is make you think like why we are disabled. They cannot create something out of nothing. It should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a sample for it somewhere in the ocean or in the animals or that's one thing. And the other thing, the biggest innovation the human being created, like airplanes, rockets, whatever, you know, there is something they took it, copy it from the creation. Mm-hmm. They look at a certain insect or animal. And they copy it. They steal the copyright, if you will, and they copy it and make this one. And the second point is, by the way, even the computer when they create this robot, the robot they put eyes to him and hands. They cannot do without the second thing that the best creation or machine man created is the computer. And the computer is way faster than human being in calculation, thinking, and giving you conclusion and stuff like that. And he could do amazing things. We will never be able to do that, you know, by our. But still, he cannot be mubda'.
Yeah.
While Allah give us this attribute, the computer
intelligence.
Exactly. You have to program it
to be creative.
Whatever you program it, he will give you back. Yeah. But he cannot say, okay, let me do something from my own. It will never happen. Yeah. And they are trying, you know, and they're dreaming about this. That a computer one day said, you know what? I'm going to rebel against this human and started my own business. That will not happen, you know.
It's a good movie, though.
Yeah. Yeah, subhanAllah. That gives you the idea of Allah al-Mubda' and how He gives us this attribute to us.
Inshallah.
That will never
Inshallah.
Be able
Beautiful.
To come
here. Yeah, now look at the plane and look at this small bird.
Yeah. Okay. Even the helicopter, there is an insect I was watching one day. It looks like the helicopter, you know. It's flying exactly the same, you know. The hummingbird, look how he come on. Yeah. The stealth bomber. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, you will find the Allah creation in everything we created.
Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the first time that I am participating in this halaqa. Mm-hmm. I have recently moved from Frederick. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I'm here.
Alhamdulillah. You want to introduce yourself, inshallah?
Yeah, my name is Sayyid Naeem. I work for Bechtel in Frederick, and we have moved here this weekend on Sunday. This beautiful attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Badir, whenever I reflect on this, I am amazed by two aspects of it. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its diversity. Mm-hmm. He has created so many species of mankind, animal, jinn and malaika and all. And everything in his creation is perfect. Mm-hmm. So the diversity and the perfection, mm-hmm. the nature, you see the mountains, you see the plains, the rivers and the sea and everything. So the diversity of his creation, as well as the perfection of his creation. Mm-hmm. We should reflect on it, mm-hmm. and more we think about it, more we are amazed, and more we are convinced of his greatness.
Well, welcome to your masjid.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, just one comment about how Islam encourages actually innovation and creativity in our own life or affairs, if you will. I'm reminded by the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when people came to him and asking about how to fertilize the palm trees, mm-hmm. and he said, "Antum alam bi umur dunyakum." So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to rein, if you will, the creativity or innovation of human beings, mm-hmm. and tried as much as possible to live them basically, give them as much room as they need to do and discover and find out how to improve things the way they should be, inshallah, in this life. So
yes.
there's no bounds or ceilings on mm-hmm. how creative one should be or should not be. Islam encourages creativity and research and development and looking at new things of doing things and things like that. So,
So you did not say it in English.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know best about the matter of this dunya that belongs to you. When they were, the palm trees are not like other trees. You need to pollinate it with your hand, physically pollinated. Usually, many. Only one male tree will be among many female. So they will get from the male the habub al-liqah, the pollen, and pollinate the others. So those, Rasulullah sallallahu encouraged him to that. Say, you know best about your way of dunya, yes, and the misunderstood. Remember. They misunderstood. They thought that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know about the way of the life of you that you do, and but it's all by the will of Allah. You do it or you don't do it, Allah will give you or not give you. So they thought that they understood. Okay, so we don't have to do it, and if Allah wills, we'll bring it out. And so they didn't, and they came to Rasulullah. Nothing came out. He said, "Why didn't you do it?" He said, "We thought you said so." He said, "No, that's not what I meant. I meant that you do the work, but still the result is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. if Allah wishes will bring you, if Allah wishes will not bring you. But Jazakallah khair.
They can bring back the microphone to me. Just to add to Brother Sayyid what he said, perfection, I forget something, it's beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, subhanAllah, the creation of Allah. One day we are driving, me and my wife, and it's the sun, you know, just starting to rise in the morning. And I said, I look at it, I mean, is this, can you, anybody believe this is nuclear bombs? I mean, this is just a heat,
yes.
And it's like, and it's so beautiful in the morning, you know, coming reddish. Mm-hmm. I have reflection on the on the cloud, and, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. Make you like really stop and look at it. And who can?
And it is fire,
right? It's fire and bombs, and you know, going there and. Mm-hmm. But Allah Subhanahu, and you could see this even when you put a microscope in anything. When you got so close, it see something. Is it, what's this? But when you go back a little bit, you know, keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from far away, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But in details, you know, it's not. But in mm-hmm. as a whole,
yes.
You know, subhanAllah.
We are all created from atoms, right?
Right.
So if you get closer to your skin,
yes,
you'll see that which you know.
Just
you
cells,
don't see.
And then
you keep going. Closer right, and right. closer until you find the neutron and proton.
Yeah,
right? Now, if you get closer also in that, you'll find space.
Right.
Just empty space.
Right. But put it together.
But you put it together, get a human being.
Yes,
and we all are, everything is made out of these empty spaces.
Yes, subhanAllah.
But they get put together and at the end you get a different creation.
Form
yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu.
So I have actually two questions. One is, you know that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, both of their creation or birth was special. So what was the age of, or is there any peace or anything when Adam alayhi salam appeared in this world? Is there anything about that?
His age?
Yeah. Like he was in Jannah and then we say that God says that he can now go down to earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in the initiation, the creation, Adam alayhi salam was not created in a way of see the creation could be initiated. Allah initiated in alam al ghayb. Okay, Allah said for it be, and it is. Okay, but then you start seeing it in alam shahada in our world start to develop. Isa alayhi salam went through that. Isa alayhi salam, Allah told Maryam alayhi salam through Jibreel alayhi salam, be to Isa alayhi salam and became an embryo in the womb of Mary, of Maryam alayhi salam. Then he came from the word of Allah, be, and he was. But now she got pregnant for 9 months and delivered and so forth. So he became in alam shahada now. Okay? Adam alayhi salam came from the initiation of the creation itself. Okay? There was no womb. Came from Allah directly. The soul came from Allah and the body was created before the soul. So, age, we don't know. Now, we can say how long, we can try to find out how long Adam alayhi salam lived. But how old was he? Okay, because of the he gave to
-40
Dawud alayhi salam. Yes. So that we don't know, you know, the age he was a full grown, if you will, okay, as the moment of creation. But how long he lived, we can say 1,000 minus some. What was the second part of it?
The second question is regarding this debate about stem cells that is happening. So it is as if you are like tinkering with the human creation or itself, kind of. So what is your opinion about that?
Tell me what a stem cell is.
So part of it is that you can, there's a potential that you can possibly grow an organ from a cell taken from the human body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Or so as if like you're creating part of human being.
Mm-hmm.
That is a possibility also. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's why I'm asking, what do we have now, and where do you go from here? Now, where is this cell coming from?
From the human body itself.
Yeah. So it is something that's from the human to the human, and something, has a life in it that develops. Allah may cause it to develop in certain forms. That's taking the means. This is developing something to make it easy for mankind to live a better life, an easier one, or less pain or more productive. Okay? There is no transgression on anything that Allah created. Because the reason I ask is, I heard that there's the embryos, they take embryos and take the stem cells from the embryos. That is the issue now. That's a whole different issue now. Of now, here is a life that started. It was developed for that purpose. And then you take that life to do something else. That is, if that is the case, then this is a whole different issue. The microphone.
No,
but we need this, inshallah.
the idea in what we, inshallah, ulama, the scholars of Muslim have to decide about this in the future. The concept of stem cell is still concept. This cloning and all this, stories about take a cell, put it in a whatever, and bring you a liver. That's a concept. That's not true. But the idea of killing a human being, the embryo, taking it because there is those stem cells, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the human being start develop, each group of cell will give you an organ eventually. Like the liver will come from a certain part, the kidney will come from a certain part, and the neural tube and so on and so forth. But here's the decision of the scholars of Muslims. Is this something willing that Islam, or are we willing to kill this embryo?
A process of life.
Yeah, to stop it because if we need organs, to grow organs or keep it growing until we take it collection of, that's the idea. Are we going to do that or not? I mean,
I heard that there is some other ways of getting, not from the embryos, from other sources as well. Is that true?
It's research, yeah. The pig, they said that they could take a cell from a pig and it's the most similar.
That's another thing about Darwin.
Right. Yeah. but all research. I mean, it's not actually very concept, yeah.
Yes.
But the fight in the White House was about should we kill this embryo?
Mm-hmm.
Is it alive or not? Does he have a right to live or not? That's in their discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now in our discussion as a Muslims, we have a different level.
Yes.
Of that can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there is anything in the Quran and the Sunnah will allow this to happen to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like we know all that getting pregnant through yeah, artificial insemination from non-father and mother is not allowed, although it is you know, a solution. Mm-hmm. But it's not permissible in Islam to get, you know, somebody sperm and somebody egg from different mother and father and put them in a third person and said, this is my child. You cannot do that. Mm-hmm. It should be from the same father, same mother, in the same mother womb. Mm-hmm. You cannot do it in any other individual. Allahu Alam.
With Adam alayhi salam, if you look at it technically, the world was not spinning around before he was created. What we measure right now, I mean, Muslims has moon calendar, and you know, other people do it around the sun. You know, once, so he wasn't in the earth, and the earth didn't go around the sun to complete a year. So you cannot exactly define what is time before he was even put into the world. And he wasn't born like us from another mother's womb. So I guess technically he wouldn't have a belly. So you cannot measure when was he born and then how long the earth spun around the sun. So his complete age is finished.
Did you think of this yourself?
I just thought about it when I said that.
And, yes, and maybe even less than that. Maybe even less than that. The human being, a lot less than that. Yes. Yes. No, may a lot less than that. And what you said, there is a debate between scholars or discussions that is this Jannah in the hereafter, or is it Jannah on this earth? Okay, and some have the opinion of no, it is that Jannah on this earth, because Jannah of the hereafter you cannot commit a sin in it. Because Jannah in the hereafter, you cannot have a choice of to do or not to do, and so forth. So there are certain things, dynamic, that happen there that we know it does not exist in the Jannah that we go into. Okay? So each one, they have their opinions and the logic. Yeah. So,
with this concept, I think you, in another halakha, I think, maybe a month ago, you told us this, you know, in the Quran, it says the mountains will be like flying cottons.
Yes.
So we don't know what the hereafter is gonna be, where it's gonna be, because Rasulullah in the Miraj he went up. So if you think about it, he went in the Sama, or you know, where did he go? I don't know if there's a hadith about him telling us where he went. If the Jannah was in this world, then he would have not went up to Miraj, if you think about
it. No, it is not the Jannah. No, because the word Jannah itself, meaning a garden.
Yeah, garden.
Okay. But the word Jannah could be the word Jannah of the hereafter. Okay? So that was the discussion. Yeah, the discussion
Mahmud is trying to say that when Allah told Adam in the Quran, Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-Jannah, live and you and Hawa, you know, Eve, live in the Jannah. Is this Jannah in the sky, in the heavens? Is the Jannah we will go, inshallah, to it? Or Jannah on earth? Allah sent them in earth, and Jannah means a garden. Is it the Jannah exists physically on this earth, but have everything for Adam, and he is protected in it? Or this is Jannah really in the seven heavens up sky? That's the scholars did not have a confirmed answer on it.
Alhamdulillah. I heard the microphone goes off, went off. I heard it. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum Allah khayran.